world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the situation room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on some edification. We're trying to edify you, trying to build you up, trying to strengthen you on this Christian journey. And on yesterday, we began listening to a sermon by Dr. A. Lewis Patterson called Shamgar. And it's taken out of the book of Judges, Judges chapter 3, verse number 31. So get close to your radio and listen as A. Lewis Patterson speaks.
Backing up and storing up and scraping up, waiting on the next level. Yeah. And unfortunately, whenever we get to the next level, there's another level above that. And consequently, we live in perpetual discontent because we do not use what we now have, waiting until we get what we do not have. The clue to living life. As to why Shamgar gets a grade of magna summa cum laude is because the boy has enough sense to use what he has. And that's an ox gourd. You know what an ox gourd is. An ox gourd is if you took a baseball bat and extended it two lengths and sort of a handle on this end and a sharp point on this end, that's an ox gourd. And guess what an ox gourd is used for? Glad you asked that question. An ox gourd is to gourd an ox. Isn't that profound? When the ox no longer wants to function as ordered, the master has an ox gourd. And he has a way of stimulating externally the ox. And that's what God wants to do with us. He has given us something. Yeah. Dr. C.A.W. Clarke of our culture says that God has given every man something and he has given no man everything. And consequently, we ought to use what we have. I eat a lot of fruit. And I've learned a lesson from observing, you know, one of the reasons I like parabolic illustrations is because they are discoverable and they are interesting and they are portable and they are understandable. So I'd like to use a little physical truth to portray a spiritual reality every now and then. But I was in Birmingham, Alabama last week, and the first thing I did was I got me a lot of fruit. And I had some pears and apples, and I had some oranges and bananas, and I had some grapes and grapefruits, and they were all there in the motel room, and they were up on this little deal there. And I decided that I was going to be preaching here this week, led of the Spirit of God, so I ought to do some very thorough research. And I did. So I observed this fruit all week. And I was very disappointed. I honestly was, because I expected the great to be marching around the motel room with a placard in its hand saying, I'm tired of being a little old grape. I want to be as big as the grapefruit. But it never did. It remained a grape until I devoured it with no complaints. And the reason is that the grape had learned to be what God designed it to be without any frustration on its part. I think that's profound. Do you not know that somebody's saying right now, well, preacher, you just don't know me because I'm a lemon. Well, what I want to remind you is that if you be the most sour little lemon that you could ever think about being, God will give somebody a taste for lemonade. Just be what you are. Because God had a divine scheme in mind when he created you. The book says it is he that hath made us. And not we ourselves. I am convinced. I don't know how you feel about it. But I am convinced that it is bordering on the realm of blasphemy to question God's creativity. God knew what he was doing when he made you. Every hair on your head is numbered. Even your fingerprints is different. God is so wonderful in his creativity is that he, have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Akeem Olajuwon? He's a center for the basketball team in Houston. Have you ever heard of Dr. J? He's a basketball player for the Philadelphia Sixers. Have you ever heard of Larry Bird? He's a power forward for the Boston Celtics or somebody. I think he got traded. Have you ever heard of Earl Campbell? Have you ever heard of Muhammad Ali? Have you ever heard of William Cullen Bryant? Have you ever heard of Shakespeare? All of these men were the best, or are the best, in their field that ever lived. But you know what God has done? He's so good that he has arranged for me to be the best in the whole wide world in at least one area, and that's being me. Nobody else can compare with me being me. I'm the best. I don't mind telling you, I'm the best. Anybody else is a facsimile at best and an imitation at the worst. I was listening to how fast Dr. Draper, I mean, it seemed like it was just, I didn't do it, but I started to walk by on the way up here and peek under to see if that was a tape recorder. I thought maybe he pushed the button and let it just flow, you know, because he was pumping it out so fast. And my point is that I can't preach like that. That's beyond me. But on the other hand, you give me a chance and I'll do some things that he can't do. And that's life. That's life. Is each of us has to use what he has. That's why Shamgar is written and recorded in this book tonight in a class all by himself. It's because he had enough sense to use what he had. That's why. But a second point here is why God thought so much of Shamgar that he put him right along with Samson. Is because not only did Shamgar use what he had, but he had enough sense to start where he was. Guess where he was? On his own farm. How do I know that? I can't think of anywhere else he'd have an ox gourd. he certainly was not teaching in the ivory halls of education. I don't think he was climbing the mountaintop of intellectuality and surveying the heights of academic splendor with an ox gourd in his hand. He's certainly not downtown sitting on the seat of political authority. If that had been true, he could have simply passed a legislative decree. He's not in the military, or he would have had sophisticated weaponry. So we can safely conclude that the man is on his own farm. So he started
where he was. That's wisdom. That's another principle I've learned. I've learned that it's very hard to start where you are not. I mean, this message is so heavy tonight, I just don't know. It's very hard to witness where you are not. So here is a man with the wrong tooth, an ox guard, and in the wrong place, and occupies the wrong occupation because he is a farmer. And yet he starts where he is. Have you ever wondered how you make your way to the major leagues in baseball, or Atlanta Braves? I've got a son who wants to, my youngest son has an intermediate goal of being a professional basketball player. He's got some long range goals beyond that. But I was trying to share with him that if you want to make it to the major leagues, the best thing to do is start real well where you are. That's how to get there. If you want to make it to the Atlanta Braves, you don't sit back and say, if and when I get to the majors, then I'm going to show them what I can do. You have to start where you are in the minors. Now, I know you probably don't have it in Georgia, but we have it down in Texas, that in a church this size, somebody would say, if he ever names me president of the High Society Club, then I'll show him what I can do. But that's not the best way to become president. You become president by starting where you are and using what you have. And if you're in class A, you make it to double A. If you're in double A, you make it to triple A. If you're in triple A, you make it to the majors, but never until you start where you are. And so here he is, starting where he is. Now look what happened. If you know anything about Oriental history, or Jewish culture, Hebrew philosophy. Matter of fact, even the master himself had this same modus operandi. And that is, that if you know anything about the military, they always stationed men two by two. We go out now as witnesses, two by two. They did it in Luke 10, did it in Matthew 10, two by two. Now, the military setting of this text is that the Philistines had come in, set up residence inside of the territory of Israel, sort of like what we call a curfew. And they had stationed men at curfew points, because the 5th chapter and the 6th verse says that nobody from Israel could walk up and down the streets. There was no traffic. There was no pedestrian traffic in the streets. Anybody who traveled had to walk behind the byways and behind the main roads. So here is what the text tells us. That every now and then, evidently, these soldiers decided to take shortcuts. And they would be away from their post of duty and having to return back to their assigned spot. They saw no need of walking down the highways and byways, because no Jewish people or no Hebrews would be in the highways. So they cut across people's property. Now that's where I'm trying to get. And every now and then, they would cut across Shamgar's farm. And they were in, as my youngest son would say, trouble when they crossed Shamgar's farm, because he would take care of them two by two. When I first read this text, I was thinking that maybe he had this ox guard and was just swinging and slew 6,000 men, but not so. Because whenever there was an extraordinary personality in the Bible always would tell us that he was super extraordinary. Sort of like when Samson slew all of those men with the jawbone of an ass, the Bible said he was the strongest man, so to speak, that ever lived. But he didn't say that about Shamgar. He was just an ordinary person, just like you and me. But as God would navigate circumstances and bring him in contact with alien forces, he would take care of them right where they were. And the next morning when they had reveille, and they'd be calling the roll, two more would be missing. I like that. Because a lot of our us may not ever stand on a national platform. We may never be president of the Southern Baptist Convention, but when God brings people across our doorstep, when God brings people in contact with us, even if it's on the bus, or in our neighborhood, or at our school, or on our job, wherever it is, God intends for us to take care of business. And they'll start where we are, and we use what we have. They did it last thing. Lest I hold you too long, at our church it normally takes me this long to clear my throat. Are you listening to me? He did one last thing. Shamgar's name is written in the record simply because he used what he had. He started where he was. And then lastly, he did what he could. That's all he could do. And he did it. The verse says he slew of the Philistines 600 men. He did it with what he had. He did what he could. And he started where he was. That's all God will ever require of any soul winner, anywhere, anytime, under any condition, in any place. Is just start where you are. Use what you have. And do what you can. Look at the rest of the verse. And he also delivered Israel. He. Just one man. In the divine scheme of God's economy, delivered Israel. As a matter of fact, he did such a good job that when he got through, he ended up as a judge in Israel. They brought him off the farm. And he ended up as a judge. Why? Because he did what he could. Started where he was. Used what he had. And all of history is different. And how do we know whether or not we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I've got a little story I want to share with you. Maybe a source of encouragement to somebody who's laboring in hard places. But I knew a lady one time by the name of Bertha Fales. She was down in a little country town in Texas. And on a real beautiful summer day, she would have 7 students in her Sunday school class. On a windy day, she would have 5. On a rainy day, she would have 3. And on a cold, rainy day, she would have 1. And she labored, laboriously labored, in that little country church with that one student many times, teaching him about the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that lady, Bertha Fales, never traveled more than 69 miles from Granger, Texas, in a lifetime. But that little boy that she used to teach has now preached the gospel on 4 continents. And the reason I know is because you're looking at that boy tonight. That's why the judgment seat of Christ will not be held yet. Because all of her record is not completed yet. Every time I stand up and preach the gospel, a part of that goes on the record of Bertha Fales. And she has long since heard the steady march of the chariot wheels from the sky. Her light has already gone out like a vessel not filled with oil. Her voice has been hushed like a flickering candle in the wind. Her remains are placed deep down in the couch of nature's night to await the dawn of eternity's reckoning. And yet, every time somebody comes to Christ, when I get through preaching, God says, put a part of it on Bertha Fales' account. And the reason is because a long time ago, she used what she had, started where she was, and did what she could. And God did the rest. I know one last person before I sit down. I couldn't go back to Texas without telling you about him. That's all he did.
The one I want to tell you about has never been to Jonesboro in person. He's never been to Granger, Texas, where I was converted. But let me tell you what he did. He used what he had. And what was that, Brother Patterson? His blood. Started where he was. Where was that, Brother Patterson? Just outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And what did he do, Brother Patterson? He did what he could. What was that? He died. And he did die. He died until the grave got sick of the stomach and started vomiting up its dead. He died until the elements of nature started suffering fits of cosmic epilepsy. He died until Sister Mary, she came running, running for to see. Died until a fountain is now filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stain. Died until the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Mercy started flowing like an everlasting stream. Started flowing one day just outside of Jerusalem and flowed on beyond Jericho and flowed on beyond Iconium and flowed on beyond Thessalonica and flowed on beyond the Peloponnesus and flowed on beyond Rome itself and flowed on beyond the wheat fields of Kansas, flowed on beyond the swamplands of Louisiana, flowed on beyond the Appalachian areas of Pennsylvania, flowed on beyond the Golden Coast of California, and stopped one day at my doorstep. Wash me. Clear up my mind. Every now and then he lets words come marching like soldiers to be dispatched at my command. And I don't even know how he does it. I sat down sometime and said to the Holy Ghost, you did it again. Hallelujah for the Lamb. And all that happened because Jesus, y'all know him. Do you know him in Georgia? Jesus. Started where he was, did what he could, used what he had. And all of life can be summed up in saying, and he also delivered the whole world. Recognize that what I've said tonight is the word of God. Respond to it in your own heart. And then get out of here and rush out to do it. And watch what happens in your own life. Didn't I tell you that when you get to heaven, I'm going to have to fight you all?
All right, that was A. Lewis Patterson, and he was telling us about Shamgar. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.